Well, God is great and greatly to be praised. Let's turn to the book of Galatians. I've told you that this book, which we'll be looking at all year, is the book about liberty, being set free, being once a slave, but now set free forever. Paul was once in slavery. But he actually thought he was free, but he was totally in the house of bondage. He was totally a slave because he thought he had to appease a wrathful God. God has never been wrathful and never will be wrathful. I know there's a wrath of God, but he himself is not angry like a judge who has to condemn the wicked. It's your decision. It's totally your decision. He bases it on facts. If you, in fact, have believed in his promise, which comes after his law, then there is no law of sin and death. There's no punishment now because Jesus Christ came at a certain time in history, 4,000 years into the world, and that was 2,000 years ago. And once he's dead, you can't die. You can if you choose to, but he has paid for you not to. He set you free if you wish it, if you want it, and you don't have to do anything to earn it because there is no law of sin and death. Now, God knows we all have sin. Even if you're a believer, you still have sin. There is still sin left in us, anger, lust, jealousy, bitterness, and so on. But it can't condemn you because Jesus died for all that. And his life was a substitute for you. And he did it on your behalf. And who's to say that God can't be merciful if he wants to a sinner? Who can tell God, you can't love me? Who can tell God not to love you? He does. And you can't make him not. And he's stubborn that way. He's fixed. He determined that he loves all men everywhere, regardless of their good works or their bad works. He doesn't care about works because Jesus Christ took care of all the bad works there, and then he rose again for your justification. Now you're made just not by any work at all, bad or good. You're made righteous, perfect before God because of his mercy. Well, Paul got a hold of that being he was a killer of Christians. You know, if you're a legalist, if you're under a law, you hate people that are not doing right because you do. So you can't say, well, I've always been humble and kind. No, you can't. If you actually have kept the law and other people don't keep it, you are wanting to force them to keep it and you get angry at them and trying to get them the good news. Hey, this is for your good. I'm trying to help you. And how many know there's a little resistance there on the part of the one you're helping to receive that help? Now, some are so desperate, they'll take it. But others are thinking, you know, look, I don't think I'm as bad as you were. I think I'm all right. I think I'm okay. And even if I weren't, there are others that are just stubborn and say, well, I want to keep doing what I'm doing. How many know people are just like that? And so you can't force them. God never, ever, ever has forced anybody to be good. You'll never find a tree in the garden that said, you shall eat of this tree. You better eat of this tree or else. You never find a tree like that. You may eat of all the trees of the garden. There's just one tree you shall not eat of, lest you die. Not lest I kill you, but lest you die. So in other words, even what he's telling you to do is don't do wrong, but he's not going to force you to do right. You may eat. You don't have to, but you may. If you want to take God's mercy or if you want to take God's guidance, you're free. This good news is so good that even Christians don't believe how good it is, even though they're Christian. Even though they accepted it, they can fall back into license. They can fall back into legalism because they forget. How many know that sometimes we forget and we fall back to our old man? And we start laboring again to please God when he's already pleased. When he saw Jesus' death, he said, I'm satisfied. When Jesus died on that cross, all of those sins up there listed on the cross, those are all your sins. And there's probably a couple more that I forgot to mention. But there's a whole bunch of sins up there, but there's a lot more. But he died for all of them. So if anyone believes in him, if anyone accepts his promise that when Jesus died and shed his blood, gave his life for you, you were set free. You don't have to pay for your sins. God's not angry. God's not mad. His wrath towards sin, not toward you, his wrath towards sin, not toward you, his wrath towards sin is gone. Because what Jesus did, he lived your life for you. The life you were supposed to live, he lived it. And not only that, but for everybody, for all mankind forever. So anyone, whosoever will, may come. It's like a Texas barbecue. Y'all come. You know, anybody is welcome. Nobody will be turned away. But the only qualification is you don't do anything. You just come and it's free. It's just free. You can't pay. You can't labor. You can't work on it. And it doesn't really matter where you are. Maybe you've changed your mind 15 times. It doesn't matter. This good news is so good because it's the true picture of the true and living God. And our worship then is not a work. It's just thank you for doing all the work. It's a thank you for being who you are, a praise for who you are. It's just a love affair. We love because he first loved us while we were yet sinners, while we were yet in our sins. How many know Christians still sin? All Christians still sin. Every day anger comes up, every day frustration comes up, every day envy comes up, every day, and so on and so on. So all kinds of sins come up. And it's okay because Jesus Christ already died once for all. Once for all. It's done. He's letting you know permanently I'm fixed this way, God says. Even though you have sinned under the law that I gave. I gave you a law and said keep it or you die. Don't eat of this tree and you did. But even so, I got another word. I got a second word, and this one will triumph over. It'll trump the other word that I gave you. I have reserved the right, anytime I want to, I can bring it out. I've reserved the right to forgive any sinner. So after he gave all the laws to Moses, he told him, now tell him this, that at any time that I choose to, you can just come and ask for mercy, even though you've committed a sin unto death, I could forgive you. What he had in mind was Jesus. So, 4,000 years after the world was created, men were full of sin and they did all kinds of things wrong. Even the Jewish people never kept his law with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength and their neighbor as themselves. Even so, in Jesus Christ, even though they killed God's son who gave them the good news, which wasn't good, killing God's son's not a good idea. But even so, he forgave that too, Jesus said, when he was being killed on the cross, crucified by men and so on. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're acting ignorantly. They don't know. I've come to forgive sins. And so this sin, don't count it. Don't count this one either. Even though they kill your son, and I was here to bless them, and they didn't like it. They didn't want it. They didn't take it. They thought I was a blasphemer and so on and so forth. Forgive that. For they know not what they do. Well, that is kind of a blanket coverage. So this good news is what this book is all about, and every book in the Bible. The letter of the law killeth. Left hand. But the spirit of the law, right hand, is the gospel, the good news, that God forgives sinners. For God so loved the world, not the church, not good people, not moral people, not nice people, not self-righteous people. For God so loved the world, anybody, everybody, that whosoever will may come and take this free gift. Now that was so good that even the church couldn't believe it after they believed it. And so some fell back. Some actually got witchcrafted, deceived, to, after they were Christian, thinking the purpose of Christianity was so he could forgive all my sins so then I could stop sinning. Not too. Did you know that Christians still sin? Even after they've been forgiven, they still fall back. And some apostatize. They apostatize. That is, they fall back under the curse of the law. Because if you don't keep God's law, you can't go to heaven. But if you do keep it in the flesh, you still don't go to heaven. But if you let Jesus keep it for you, in you, through you, well, you go to heaven. Just by believing, passive. Passive righteousness means you're not. He is. So the righteousness of God is that he doesn't lie. Let God be true. He never lies. And every man a liar. So men can lie all day long, and we do. But God can't. And so once he says, I forgive you or I love you, he can't change his mind. Oh, after what you just did, no, no. You did it three times. Three times you did it. On the same day, too. You're out. He can't. God can never change his mind. How many know God knows everything? The end from the beginning. He knew when he created the world how many would sin. All. He knew how deep that would be from the heart. And so he decided, I'll just give you a new heart. So he didn't even try to make your old heart work. He just simply gave you a new heart. When Jesus rose from the dead, he died to the old. He then was born to the new, the first fruits of the new creation. And now we who are in Christ are a new creation. That was all by faith. It was by no work, no work. So you can fall back under works if you want to and feel guilty and try to please someone who's already pleased. Or you can just start rejoicing and laughing and being free and stop laboring and stop working. The purpose of Christianity was not to forgive you so that then you could finish. The purpose of Christianity was not so then you'd become moral and nice. The purpose of Christianity was not so you'd do a bunch of good works and then go to heaven. The purpose of Christianity was to change the game totally and say, you're no longer under a law. If there's no law, there's no sin, because the law tells you, you know, what to do and not to do. And now you're not under that. You're under the gospel, under the promise, under a new picture of God as a loving father who's never been angry at any man at any time, no matter what. Yes, he hates sin, only because it does not lead to your happiness. And you would never come home. You'd never find your way home. So sin, he took care of it. Does he have a right to do that? Can you tell God, no, you can't do that, God. You gave a law, we have to keep it. We insist on it. You can say it if you want. And you can even do it. He won't stop you. You have the freedom. But I would recommend not. I would recommend taking that new gift, free gift, paid for by God himself, who never was angry. And he tells you, I'm not angry. I knew before the foundation of the world that Jesus Christ would be laid down for you 6,000 years ago. I knew that he would be your righteousness. It was never yours I was after. Yours is in him. Get connected to him by faith. It's the only way to get connected to him. That glorifies me. That I love. I love it when people take a free gift that they don't deserve. How many can say amen?
Amen.
So God's good news and why this book was written was Paul used to be a legalist. He used to kill Christians. He used to go into their homes, grab them, pull them out, because he was a legalist. So he hated them because they didn't keep the law. So you try to say, you know, because you don't keep the law and you believe in this Jesus nonsense, I'm going to take you before the court and you're going to be killed, stoned, destroyed, or the Romans can crucify you, whatever. But Paul did that thinking he was doing a wonderful thing. How many know people sometimes who love you hurt you? I'm just doing this for your own good. And they're just forcing you and pressing on you and nagging at you and, you know, driving you into the ground, so to speak, with all their love. And you're not taking it. You're not receiving it. Did you know a lot of people resist love? Because they know they don't deserve it, so they don't believe you're in your right mind if you're giving it to them. You must be crazy, because I'm not as nice as you think I am. But God knows everything about you, every thought, every emotion, every action. He knows everything about you, and he loves you. There's no other God like that. There is no other God like that. Buddha is not like that. Muhammad is not like that. We have the best news in the world. That's why he's the true and living God. He's the true and living God. He's the true God. Why? Jesus Christ, his son, came down, and nobody ever found a sin in him. They killed him for no reason at all. How many know that people are mean like that? They can be mad at you for no reason at all. You know, I remember once Peggy had burned the toast, and She had burned it, and I said, Peggy, this toast is burned. And she threw it at me. You know, because she was mad that she had burned it, and that she was mad that I pointed that out. I just wanted to know if it was a burnt offering. That's all I wanted to know. I wasn't mad. I'm going to eat it too. y'all think that's funny? This is the kind of God you have. You have a God that's never mad at you. When you get mad at him, he's not mad at you for getting mad at him. You forgive all that. Why? Because he's always loved you. Everybody that he ever created, he loved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the only way you can get in on this is to take a free gift. You can't get in with your brain. Your brain doesn't understand. How can a holy God love an unholy person who disobeyed his law, did everything on purpose, never did any of the stuff he wanted? You didn't love him with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. You didn't love the neighbor as yourself. You failed God's original intention in creating you in the first place. So instead of having stewards on the earth, servants on the earth who did his will all the time, nobody ever did. Nobody at any time ever did with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength and their neighbor as themselves. Even the Jewish people, you know, they believed God was good, and they taught, you know, God wants you to love the Lord with all your heart and soul and strength, but they never did it. They had lip service, but without the heart. And therefore, they never loved the neighbor as themselves either. They hated them. And even to this day, it still goes on. And so there's very little mercy in the world. And if you do get it, you had to earn it. The Muslims are merciful as long as you accept Allah. If you don't accept Allah, chop your head off. That's it. I mean, no, that's a good religion. I mean, it's very clear. If you don't behave, you're out. And they define behavior as, you know, submitting to the Muslim rules and Sharia law and all that kind of stuff. Okay, don't hate them for doing that. That's what they've been taught. It just happens not to be the truth. But they don't know that, so do not argue with them, because before you can get the last sentence out, I don't know why, they're very quick. God may be slow, but they are not slow. Yeah. But they don't know better. So just like Jesus said, look, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Because they're actually hurting the ones that could tell them the truth, but they don't want to hear it. But why judge them? With the judgment you judge, you'll be judged. Let them go. Just withdraw from them and keep doing what God said. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what? He'll give you everything else. You don't have to fight your enemy. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. Swords, guns, bullets, bombs. We don't need carnal weapons. Why? Because our God shall supply all our needs, and our God defends us. How many know that if you're God's investment, he'll probably make a good profit? But here's the only one he accepts, the one that believes that Jesus Christ is his righteousness. That he dying on the cross, you can't die. That he rising from the dead, you will rise. Because he's paid your debt, there it is, it's nailed on the cross, and his resurrection is proof that God accepted it, and now you're accepted forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I tell you, that's good news. I'm excited about that. I like that message. It's a very good message. And unlike Paul, I was not a good person. I never was a good person, never. I never, ever, ever did what was right. Even if I did it, I did not do it with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength, nor did I love my neighbor as myself. I was still taking care of myself. But God forgave me, and I didn't take it for a long time. I thought it was stupid. It didn't make any sense to me. How could God, who's holy, like anything that I do? Because when I steal, when I lie, when I cheat, and I did all those all the time, he knew that was wrong. I knew that it was wrong. I did it deliberately. I did it on purpose. If somebody said, you're not supposed to do that, I knew that. I just wanted to. Danny, I think you're like me. I think there's two others here that are like me. Betsy. You agree? Praise God. And so I think there's actually three others here. You know what? You can't tell God that he can't forgive sinners. He reserves the right It's a royal prerogative right that he has, that anytime I want to, I can forgive a sinner if I want. What if he wanted to forgive everybody who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, that's the offer he made. So this book is going to start from the beginning to show you that Paul, who once was a legalist, a hateful person if everybody didn't keep the Jewish law or if they violated it in any way, he then felt they should die because the letter of the law killed him. But he became a Christian. Jesus met him. It was supernatural on the highway. Remember, he was going to Damascus and on the road with letters to get all the Christians that were there. God interrupted him, Jesus Christ. And he knocked him off his horse into the dirt. How many know it's good to be knocked off your horse, your high horse, into the dirt, low dirt, so that you can't see, you can't hear, and he went blind. And that blindness didn't last long because Paul started talking. And the Lord said to him, Paul, have I caught your attention? I think I've caught your attention. And so when you're down, how many know when you're down and out like that, you kind of catch your attention. As proud as you are on your high horse, he can put you down just like that. How many know America is actually close to that? Maybe even more than close. We might be there. There's judgment that falls upon us because we can't get along with anybody. Nobody likes nobody. I mean, the Republicans hate the Republicans more than they hate the Democrats, I think. The Democrats hate the Democrats. I mean, Hillary and Bernie aren't getting along too good either. So everybody's having a little bit of trouble these days. And so, you know, the one good guy, he's out. I mean, that shows you how much good is good. But you know what? God is still in charge. And if God wants to, he could have all four of them join. There's nobody stopping the one whoever wins. They could actually include the others, regardless of party, regardless of anything. Get Bernie on. What could Bernie be good on? Let's see. You know, he's very kind and generous, probably the most compassionate of the four. But he's weird. He's weird. He has views that are not ours. But anyway, and how about Hillary for, what would she be good for? And so on and so forth. Well, then there could be, Cruz could be in charge of religion. And he probably could spot some hypocrites. And it'd be entertaining to have Trump, for sure. It would be entertaining. Nobody knows what he stands for anyway, you know, but just there'll be more jobs and somehow it'll all just kind of come out and so on and so forth. But at least he knows how to make business. And he is definitely giving all those, you know, TV show guys lots of money. They love him. Millions and millions and millions of, I mean, viewers, not just in the United States, but all over the world. I just have a feeling that just government is not quite here. It's really hard. Again, you can almost flip a coin and don't make it. Where it comes down, you're going to lose. No matter what, you're going to lose. There's no hope in man. But God said that in the Bible. So how many know that God's still in charge? And his truth still marches on. And another thing, I don't even care. I have no care whatsoever who wins. They're all bad. And the one good guy that I thought was good, he got nowhere. So there you have it. Now, how many know pastors are like that too? Not me. I'm not me. I'm an exception. Because I'm telling you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. What is it? That Jesus Christ is not angry at you. Never has been. He died for you. He was buried for you. He rose for you. He now lives in you. And he's working through you to accomplish all things. And when he's done, he'll keep his promise. The good work he began in you, he will surely complete. You will be perfect. You will be righteous. You will look holy, not just be holy, but you'll actually act holy. And he's doing it right now on this earth before heaven. So that actually you have the first fruits now. You don't get the whole, but you got the first fruits. So that actually right now, today, you could be happy. You could be loving. You could be free. Today. So this message is good. Let's read about Paul. Paul is an interesting guy, opposite of me. He started out as a good guy and ended up as a believer. Paul, an apostle. That means apostolos in the Greek, which means sent out from. Not of men. So men didn't send him out. You can't be an apostle by men. Neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him, Jesus, from the dead. So, if God can raise Jesus from the dead and you trust in and believe in Jesus' promises, then you also will not die. So, first thing Paul is trying to tell us here is pastors may be chosen by the congregation, but not apostles. That's the first thing he's telling you. An apostle comes from heaven. I am an apostle. I'm a pastor, a local pastor right here. And I'm not going anywhere, doing anything. But God does send me out to Uganda, to China, to India, to wherever, all over the world. But when I go out, I'm no longer a pastor. I may have the title, but I'm functioning as an apostle, a sent out one, not from this church, but from heaven. So Paul says, I am an apostle, not from Antioch, my home church. Not from men at all, but from Jesus Christ, who by revelation called me and told me, you are going to go to the Gentiles, not to the Jewish. That's Peter's. And so he explains this right here in the book of Galatians, but then gives this warning. So here it is. All the brethren that are with me and the churches of Galatia. Now, Galatia is part of Asia Minor, which is Turkey today, not Gaul, southern France. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. The "and" is a conjunctive, but it also is equally so. In other words, Jesus didn't just get sent from the Father. This is fascinating. This is fascinating. That in 1054 A.D., after the birth of our Lord, 1054, 1,000 years afterward, the Eastern Church, called the Eastern Orthodox Church, and the Western Church split. We used to be in the West underneath the East. There was just one emperor and one religious guy at the top, the Metropolitan. The Orthodox Metropolitan. He has all his fancy stuff. And the Westerners decided to break off with the Easterners. This is how the world got split. And so the whole West, which was Latin-speaking, and the whole East, which was Greek-speaking, the whole West divided away by saying filioque, Latin for "and the Son." So the East said no. Absolutely not. And excommunicated the whole West, which is exactly what the Pope wanted. So the Pope then became top guy in the West and not connected or subordinate to the Eastern guy. So that's how the world got shaped up. And here's what the deal was. The Bible says that the Spirit is the Spirit of the Father that proceeds from the Father. So they said, it can't be also the Son. But they know it says, "and the Son." But they refused to say it. And they said, no, it's from the Father. The Spirit comes from the Father. So the Westerners said, no, it doesn't. It comes from the Father and the Son. Filioque. Filio means Son. And oque means from where he came. So from the Son and the Son. Conjunctive. So the Holy Spirit, then, is the guy that we're talking about. Who sent him? Jesus even said, I'm going to the Father, and then as soon as I get there, sit down, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, day of Pentecost. So that's how it all started. Well, the Greeks knew that he was also sent from the Son. They knew it, but they didn't want their subordinates to make a decision without them making it. So the Eastern Church, out of a legalistic interpretation, said, only from the Father. The Father's the one that sent the Spirit, not the Son. But they knew it said in the Son. But they were just stubborn because they didn't want an underling telling the high muckety-muck what to do. And so the Westerners said, good, then we're free from you forever. Because we're teaching this and you teach that. We speak Latin, you speak Greek, too bad for you. And so the Pope became so powerful that today the Orthodox Church is small. And they got beat up with all the Turks. When the Muslims came into Europe, they came through France, up through Spain, across the Gibraltar, and then they also, through a pincer, they came from the east and ended up at the gates of Europe and were ready to plow them down. But to do that, they had to destroy the Eastern Empire. And they did. They took over Constantinople, it's now called Istanbul. They took it over, and so that little bit of history is fascinating, is that's how we got to hate each other. And so now the Pope, who's still flourishing over here, and the Eastern Orthodox, who they believe they're the true church, they believe that they're right, and they believe that they're right, and they're still dickering it out. And every once in a while, they talk to each other a little bit, handshake as though they were going to get along. But the truth is, they still have never forgotten that original argument. We make all the decisions. No, you don't. We do. In the West, we're top. We're not trying to conquer you, but you should come under us if you were smart. So how many know that churches are crazy? All churches, any church, even ours. It's crazy because we've forgotten the good news. And how many know you can't get mad at the Easterners for playing their authority bit, and you can't be mad at the Westerners, the Catholics, who also hate us Protestants. But a few years ago, I was here in Dallas, and Cardinal Suenens, the Bishop of Belgium, where that big problem was a few weeks ago, he came over here and he said, Pope Paul VI has sent me here to America to tell you that you Protestants are no longer hated heretics. As the Pope said, this guy. And he said, now you are separated brethren. And therefore, you got a chance to come back under us. That was great. Was that not? Now that was, see, that was quite an offer. It was an amazing offer. But I don't know, I had a little suspicion. I don't know why. That we were going to get the smaller end of the stick.
You're Catholics, you just don't know it.
Yeah, exactly. And they actually said these words, though. Martin Luther was a Christian. And he was a good Catholic. That's amazing. That's powerful. But still unsettled. How many know that God kind of reserves to himself to fix everything? And it isn't that men are going to get together and fix anything until they submit to him. So everybody's still where they were. But now we kind of talk. Instead of throwing rocks and so on, we kind of talk. But the talk goes nowhere. Because sooner or later, it's a power game, right? We want to be right, and we want to be in power. And I know I'm right, so I don't want to do it. Y'all didn't see the humor of that. But the good news is good news. And the problem with all the churches is they're lukewarm today. Every church, all churches are lukewarm. Now, that doesn't mean you can't be hot. You could be a church and be hot. But it starts with individuals, not with some pastor telling you you're hot. So God wants to get this good news out, and that's what Galatians is all about, is don't be witchcrafted to fall back after you've been forgiven. Why would you want to go back under the bondage of the law and not be a free man anymore? Why would you want to now again try to labor and work as though you had to pay God off for being wrathful when he's not, never has been, and never will be? God has never been angry. He has never been at any time an angry judge. I don't care what it says. The letter of the law killeth. But read it according to the Spirit. The gospel is God has always been good. And he always is. And he's not mad at anybody. Therefore, I can't be mad at anybody. You can't be mad at anybody. You could sin, but it'll be forgiven. So there's no fear today to win. The only thing the Bible says is not come out from the harlot or come out from the beast. The only thing the Bible says is just withdraw. Will they come after you? Of course. Will you suffer? Of course. Anyone who lives a godly life will be persecuted, hated, despised. So if you don't want to suffer, then you don't. But I do. I want to. Why? It's a good thing. If you suffer, that is, if you're hated, misunderstood, and, you know, despised and so on, for keeping the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which has set me free from the law of sin and death. So this law conquers this law. This one is greater. The law of the Spirit. So the Spirit of the law is greater than the letter of the law, which judges you. This one judges Jesus better, because Jesus did it for your benefit. In other words, you're the beneficiary of Jesus' whole life. He didn't do anything for himself. He always pleases the Father, but it was the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. Isn't that amazing? So since that's his pleasure, let him do it. That is where all freedom came from in this world. I guarantee you there's never been any freedom in this world until Jesus Christ announced, "If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed." And from that moment on, there was the possibility, though it took a long time. And it was here in Texas that we finally did it. I might have exaggerated a little bit there. But actually, when the founders of Texas, paragraph 12 in their Declaration of Independence, 1836, when Santa Anna was about to come over, here's what they said. "We're going to declare our liberty right now. We don't have to do what you say. You're coming with thousands of troops. We're lucky if we can come up with 1,000. And they didn't. Actually, Houston beat him with 900 soldiers, and he had 5,000. They weren't all there that day, but he had them. But there were thousands of them there. And they easily could have beaten Houston. He was always retreating and always retreating and always retreating. And his people said, "When are we going to start and fight?" When we're not outnumbered. Or when the yellow rose shows up. You probably didn't understand that, but that was a little girl that did Santa Anna in. Because he was thinking he had it made. And that Sam Houston's a pretty sharp guy. We owe Sam a lot. I don't know if he's our uncle, but we owe him a lot. Now, what the Texans said is this. This is the 15th paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, 1836. "The Mexican government, under Santa Anna, a tyrant now, the Mexican government denies to us the liberty, the right to worship God, Almighty God, according to the dictates of our own conscience." In other words, he wants to impose Catholicism on us and make everybody be Catholic, which means we'll just be hypocrites because we're not Catholic. But we'll say it because otherwise we're dead. Or we can fight him and say, because they have denied us this right which God gave us, we will stand with God, protect our families, protect our lands, and fight his army and prevail. So that was a big thing. They drew the line in the sand. It was over. No longer will we be enslaved religiously, because the Son has set us free. And then they added these words, "that we might worship the true and living God."
Hallelujah.
That's powerful. They weren't against Catholic. Many of the Texians, they were Catholic. A lot of them stayed over. They were Mexican Catholics. And they were fighting with the Texans. We were one. So those that ran back weren't, but those that stayed were. And one of the greatest of all, his family is still here today. It's amazing. Because he said, "I'm with the Texians. I don't want to be forced. I am Catholic, but I don't want to be forced." And we said, "Yeah, if you're Catholic, it's okay. If you're whatever you are, Jewish, we don't care what you are. Syrian, we don't care. You can come and have religious freedom forever in Texas." So Texas guaranteed one state under God. Amazing. That is why we're here today and we can be free. Otherwise, there'd be laws telling us, got to do it this way or don't do it that way and so on. We're not under laws. Jesus gave us no laws. Now, I tell you what, the best has been saved to the last. The best wine hasn't yet been served. And I know that God personally, this is my personal talk, is personally, I know that God wants to have a free church, religious liberty, and just government. Well, we've had neither. We don't have either. But so what? How many know if God has an idea, he's capable of getting that done? I believe he will not come back until we have both of those in place. So I'm not really worried about the election. I'm not worried about anything. The economy, nothing. Why? Because I believe God always does what he wants to do. I believe that he's supreme, he's sovereign, he's powerful, he's smart, he's wise, he's strong, he's good. And he cannot lie. So I believe there has to be one state, at least, that stands with God and indict the others for not. And I'll tell you what, there's at least 22 other states that are waiting for Texas to make a move. They don't have the power, the ability, the capacity, or the faith to do it. But they actually believe whatever way Texas goes is the right way. And the way Washington is going, we're not following it. Now, so you don't know that though the West Coast and the East Coast, for the most part, are docile, the rest of America, particularly Middle America, except Chicago, except for that part of the world, they are actually watching what Texas does, and this election is all about what Texas did and will yet do. So that's kind of interesting, because here we believe that we should worship the true and living God. And we believe that we'll die for it. We're not just going to say we believe in that. We're going to actually lay down our physical lives, but most importantly, our souls. That we believe every man has a right to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience, without question. It's an indefeasible right. You can't defeat it. You can't destroy it. It's in our Bill of Rights, Article 1, 6. But we also believe that all of that means nothing if this good news isn't good news. I mean, it would be just foolish for us to fight against Santa Anna if he has more troops than we have and win. But God could give us wisdom. How many know God is actually a kind of a warrior? And he's kind of smart, and he's kind of good, and he keeps his promises. So actually, if you go with God, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not yours, his righteousness, that is yours, that's who you are. You're righteous because of that. And he'll give you everything else. So all we have to do is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength and our neighbor as ourself. God is happy. God's totally happy. And since Jesus did it, we didn't even did it. He did it. It's done. It's done. So he's looking for that kind of faith. This is the good news. This is why Galatians is so powerful. Two words. Number one, if I read verse 4 in this first chapter, it says, present evil age. Present evil age. Now, why didn't it just say evil? The world is just evil. It could say that because the world is. But it didn't. Because it's not defining the word evil the way we would define it. If you define evil as under the law, everybody's guilty. So he's not talking about that. He's saying, since Jesus came, present evil age, a new evil has come up. It's no longer the evil of not obeying God. It's the evil now of not believing God through Jesus Christ, because God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. In other words, God, the offended one, was paying the debt for the one who offended, so that the one who offended didn't have to any longer worry about a debt that he owed. It'd be paid. So God, the offended one, is no longer offended. Never has been. Never. Because before the foundation of the world, he had Jesus lying back there, laid down already, and then he just brought him forth at the right time. He came in the fullness of time. He was sent in the fullness of time. No, go, go now, go, go. And when Jesus came down, he announced and declared this good news to the whole world. Not just to Jewish people, not just to non-Jewish people, to everybody, anybody. So now, peace on earth. Remember those angels? They sang, peace on earth, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill to men. That's us. Now, you and I should be living that way, and start with your family, and that may bog you down a little. But every man here, the husband should bear the burden, the wife should get all the blessing. Every man here should start with your wife. Forget the kids. Just start with your wife. You know, if you want good kids, just make sure you love your wife. with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. There it is, first neighbor, wife. So if I don't love Peggy with everything that I have, I don't really love God. I don't trust God. I don't believe in God. So he says right away, Jim, instead of worrying about how I am, I'm already for you. I want you to now give up your life for her. Huh? What? No. Jim? Okay. Jim, no. Okay. Jim, it's still not right. I want you to do it with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. Trust me. I'm not saying obey me. I'm saying trust me. So our trust, happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. How many know if you're happy, it's because you trust in the Lord? So all happiness, find it in booze, it won't work. Find it in a good job, it won't work. I don't care what you look for in this world, you'll never, ever find happiness, and God wants you to be happy, but you can't find it without God. You got to be tied with God. If you're tied with God, you got it. You're happy all the time. I am. I'm happy all the time. You can ask Peggy. I'm always happy, even in the dreams. Why? Because Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's just a little kid thing. That thing works. That thing is still powerful. That little three-year-old kid, Jesus loves me, this I know. Doesn't know a thing. It's just saying a bunch of words the Sunday school teacher taught her to say, and sits back there in the car, happy as all get out. Did you know unless you become like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven? That little kid has, there's no theology beyond that little kid. Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's over. That's it. That's it. I'm weak, he's strong. You know, that's it. It's over. And a little kid will sing that and not have a clue as to what that means until later in life. And then it's already gone in. It's already borne fruit. That seed went deep into the soul of that little child. Buddhists don't do that. Muslims don't do that. Hindus don't do that. Witchcraft people don't do it. Satan worshipers don't do that. Nobody else has ever done that. You can't see their little kids happy like that because they're free. Why? Because they don't have to do anything to please Jesus. Jesus is for them. Jesus loves me, not I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. Passive. Totally passive. You don't have to do one thing to please God. How many know that Christians who still sin are pleasing in God's sight? Their sins are not because he wants you to be happy. And you can't be happy if you're in sin. But if you have faith, apart from faith, you can do nothing. Apart from faith, everything is sin. But if you have faith, you're completely righteous. You're completely right with God, and he blesses you without any change on your part. He's just keeping his promise. And he won't stop until you're perfected. And he won't come back until you're ready. So he's coming back not for a harlot. He's coming back for a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. So I believe that the best days are still ahead of us. I believe politically then, the politics thing can't fall apart. The economy can't fall apart. The society won't fall apart. I'm sorry. I don't believe any of those stories. I believe they're all waiting for us. I believe judgment doesn't begin with them. I believe it begins in the household of God. And right now he's separating the sheep from the goats. He's separating the bride from the whore. He's separating those that are truly hot and those that are lukewarm so that when he judges, the judgment won't fall on us. And the judgment will come, but it's not something he wants because he told them, don't sin or else. But then he also said afterward, however, I reserve the right to forgive any sinner. And he did it through Jesus Christ. And now, why fall back under bondage when you've once been set free? That's why Paul says, I noticed something. Why have you so quickly been witchcrafted and you're falling back into legalism again? You know, lukewarmness, why aren't you still happy? Why aren't you still rejoicing? I forgave you. Not only that, I'm blessing you. Not only that, I want to marry you. And I'm coming back for a bride who's ready. Now, the end of the word. I'll close. The other word is anatidomai in the Greek. Two words, but they're put together, anathema. Anathema. So it's saying, if anyone preaches a different good news than the one I've just preached, let him be accursed. But the correct understanding of that word is not, I'm going to accurse you, or I'm going to curse you. No. The correct understanding is this. God made a promise, and if you get out from under his promise, you fall back under the law. So you go back to the left side. So the left hand of God, everyone dies over here because the spirit of the law is over here. But the letter of the law is over here. But the gospel, the good news over here, trumps. So if you have this get out of jail free card over here, you don't go to jail. You can't be condemned. You can't die. You can't lose out. You're going to win. But why would someone who's already been set free stay in the prison cell, even though the doors are open and he could walk out at any time? Why would you fall back into bondage and think I have to please God again when he's already happy? God has never been mad at you, and he never will be mad at you or anybody that he created. He loves all mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, not the church. God loves the world. He doesn't love the church more than he loves the world. He doesn't love us less than he loves Jesus Christ. He's a lover. He doesn't have two kinds of love. Love, 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 love. So that love, agape love, that agape love is yours. You don't have to buy it. You know, it's free. It's a free gift. Now, you should walk out today happy, 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 free, 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 free. Why? Because God's done everything he needs to do to give you everything you need in this world and to walk from now on in love so that you could love the Lord thy God with all your heart and soul, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, because you don't need anything because God supplies everything. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. You don't need to work at it. You don't need to, you know, pay for it. It's all been paid for. You're prepaid. You're prepaid. I mean, when it's prepaid, everything's done. Everything is, you know, it's like, oh, no, you're one that comes in. Here, come to the head of the line. Really? I didn't pay. You don't have to pay. You're free. So God kind of favors you so that you never have to be afraid again. You never have to be burdened again. You never have to be worried again. How many of you can, you can still sin? You're not supposed to, but it's okay. Let him work that out. Don't help him. I will stop sinning. Yeah. Why don't you start with pride that you will not? How many of you cannot stop a sin? You can stop outwardly, but you can't stop inwardly. You cannot, because God gave you the old heart, and that old heart is still there unless it's not there. So now that you have a new heart, that's one God made, and he lives inside that heart. He rose from the dead for only one reason, so he could live in that heart. Now his throne is set up not only in heaven, but there's another throne on earth in your heart. That's where God lives, and then he spreads out through that heart into the soul, into the body, into the family, into the neighborhood, into the churches, into the whole world. Until the whole world has an opportunity to say yes or no to God. I believe or I don't believe. So the best has been saved to the last. Hope you're blessed today. Yeah. Hope you understood the goodness of this book about how Paul, who was once a legalist, then became a Christian, and he would not fall back. And he encouraged everybody, don't fall back. Never fall back into it. Who has a testimony?